Our study tonight is out of the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Preventing God's punishment. Unlike the other Old Testament prophets, Zephaniah had a genealogy of four generations, so he was a man of prominence and even royalty. He offered the prophetic view of the upper class. Accordingly, the upper and lower class prophets both wrote of judgment and blessing for God's people in the day of the Lord, a phrase that Zephaniah used more often than any other prophet. It's interesting, regardless of the background of the prophets of the Lord and the messengers of the Lord, the apostles, these were men who were filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, and they had essentially the same message. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, called the nation of Judah to repentance because of the imminent judgment of God. The passage offers invaluable insight on revering the Lord beneficially, so we view it for our edification. I'll read the verses and then look at them. Zephaniah chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not shamed, literally. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. All right, God's prophet Zephaniah had a message for the wicked people of Judah in verses 1 and 2. And then in verse 3, he had a message for the remnant, the godly remnant. First of all, the godless people. He called the nation of Judah to gather together to express its repentance and confession of sin, a call to gather that is repeated to emphasize the need for a sense of urgency. Throughout Israel's history, whenever they were in trouble, in a crisis, they were threatened, a nation was getting ready to invade them, they would gather together at the temple, the people, the king, the priests, and they would pray. And the Lord helped them out. Jehoshaphat, I remember, in his day, there was an army coming. And so Zephaniah called for them to gather together. And he repeated it. And he repeated it to emphasize the sense of urgency. Yes, gather. So the problem of spiritual complacency noted back in chapter 1, verse 12, is addressed by this command. In other words, he's trying to startle the people and say, you better gather together. We need to gather together. Let's get with it. Well, God's prophet addressed Judah as a nation not shamed, meaning the wicked were so calloused by their sin that they had no sense of shame. This reminds me of the sons-in-law of Lot when they were trying to warn them to leave the city. They laughed at him and mocked him. They thought that he was joking, that the city was going to burn up with fire. Now, fortunately, Lot's daughters and initially his wife came along, but his wife looked back. I wonder if she had some doubts. But anyway, but that's where these people were. They're not shamed. And so they're not shamed. They're very calloused. They had no sense. So this is a dangerous state of mind for a nation that was ripe for judgment simply because it meant that the people were calloused against even wanting to repent. Why repent? What are you talking about? You're just, you know, you're some guy that gets on a soapbox in Central Park. It's just, you know, they're a dime a dozen. Well, Zephaniah emphasized the need to take advantage of what little time was left of God's patience, urging Judah to repent before God's decree that he would punish the nation, literally gives birth, before the nation gives birth to that punishment. Yelad is the word, or yelad is the noun. Giving birth. So God had promised, he had predicted that things are going to happen, but before they give birth, before it actually comes. The prophet also noticed that once the time for repentance had passed, it would be forever gone. He urged Judah's people to repent before the day passes like chaff. Kamos, that's like chaff, abar yom, passing as the day. This illustration of a gusty breeze swiftly picking up and blowing a pile of chaff away so that its fragile contents are irretrievably widely scattered over the countryside emphasizes the fact that once God's punishment begins to fall on a people, the opportunity for repentance and restoration in God's blessing will by then have irreversibly and permanently perished. That's a pretty graphic picture. You have a pile of chaff, and the chaff is very, very light. All of a sudden, a gust of wind comes in. And once that happens, forget about picking up the pieces. They're all over the countryside. And that's the picture. Once God's judgment comes, like that gust of wind, forget about it. It's over. So you can see the emphasis that he's putting on the importance of repenting and repenting now before it's too late. Well, God's prophet then had a message for the godly remnant in verse 3. Turning to address the godly remnant, Zephaniah urged them as the humble of the land who performed God's just commands, that's the remnant, to heed three admonitions, and they're invaluable admonitions. First of all, Zephaniah first urged the remnant to seek the Lord. Now, that's a figurative expression for heeding the will of God. Normally, the word seek is to seek after a god or an idol, and that would happen when you would show up at the worship place and you would look for the god or to worship. And so seeking here, seeks the Lord, means turn to the Lord, pay attention to what he wants, and do what he wants. It's pay attention to what the Lord has in mind. And then Zephaniah urged the remnant to seek righteousness. That's to focus on righteousness in life. The big need for mankind before God is righteousness. The greatest thing that God ever says that man does, in fact, there's only one great thing that God ever says about man, and that's that sin is great, in Genesis 6, just before the flood. So there's a tremendous need for righteousness, and God wants the righteous to focus on that in their lives. And then the third, Zephaniah finally urged the remnant to seek humility. Now, that's interesting, to live humbly before others and the Lord. I think it's one of the prophets. What does the Lord thy God desire after thee but to seek humbly, to walk humbly with the Lord thy God? And anyway, turn after the Lord. I forget which prophet it was. Micah, one of those prophets. Humility is very, very important. Humility demonstrates a reverence for God. That's something that is drastically lacking in our culture today. A real healthy fear of God. Fear not in the sense of terror, but respect. The deep respect for the Lord. Now, this same, in heeding, the reward for heeding these admonitions, Zephaniah noted that the remnant might be graciously hidden by God from his punishment when the Lord's fierce anger was expressed on the wicked. It's interesting. I think in the book of Revelation it talks about God telling his people, come aside and hide. Come aside and hide until the wrath be passed over. He does this, in the book of Isaiah as well. Now, the same principle of the godly remnant in Judah being delivered from harm at the time of God's national punishment appears in Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, and Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by faith. But in Ezekiel 9, 4 and 5, remember when God wanted the angels to go through and put a mark on the forehead of those who wept over the godlessness of Judah. The word mark there in Hebrew actually is the letter tau, henshin tau. Now, the way we write a tau today is coming up like this, and then with a curl. But the tau that was written in Ezekiel's day was a cross. It was the letter, like our letter T. And so God wanted the letter cross put on the foreheads. And when the angels saw that, they were to protect those people from being harmed and from being destroyed, because these were the godly remnant. And this is when the Babylonians came in. So the same principle of the godly remnant being delivered from harm at the time of God's punishment appears in Ezekiel 9, 4 and 5, Habakkuk 2, 4, as well as Zephaniah 2, 3. So this was a principle that was apparently taught by all of the prophets of God. Now we know that not all of the prophets of God are mentioned in Scripture. There were a number of prophets, other prophets. Some of them are actually mentioned by name in the book of Jeremiah, but we don't know of any of the prophecies. But the Lord apparently was very careful to protect the godly. If you were a godly person and you were living by faith and obeying the Lord, even if the Babylonians are getting ready to come, you'd be preserved. God would see to it. Now, you might be taken captive, going to Babylon, but you would be able to live. The lesson is, to prevent God's severe punishment from coming upon the nation Judah, sinners in Judah were to gather together to repent and confess their sins with a sense of shame, taking advantage of what little time was left before God's wrath fell, aware that once this punishment arrived, all hope for avoiding it would be completely gone, and they would only face the severely painful effects of God's wrath. Now, as for the godly who lived in the nation, they were to obey God's will, to live righteously and humbly before the Lord and other people. In reward, God would hide them from his expressed wrath when it fell on the sinners. So, in application, if we are aware that we are in sin, A, we need to repent and confess that sin, and B, with an awareness of our guilt, C, while precious time is still left before God's punishment falls, D, knowing that once it does fall, it will irretrievably do so where we will experience God's painful discipline. Number two, if we are upright, but we live among ungodly people, A, may we see our need, even as the godly, to, number one, obey God's will, then to live righteously, and walk humbly before the Lord and other people. In reward, the Lord will hide us from his expressed punishment that will be administered upon the sinful. It's a wonderful thing that God provides for the godly and for the righteous. He's very aware of those who do not like what's going on in the nation or the country or the people group. And he's very protective of his people. One thing about God is he's an immensely just. He's immensely fair. And if we're living for the Lord and if we're walking godly lives before him, he will take care of us so that we can accomplish the assignment that he has for us. But at the same time, we have to be humble about it. We have to be focused on righteousness and really seeking the Lord. We see lots of situations going on today that this accident that happened, the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals, the man just made a tackle. And it was apparently, according to one doctor, he was hit in the chest. And if you get hit in the chest strongly at a certain point in the heartbeat, actually it'll stop the heart. And apparently that's what happened. Got him just at that split second. And he stood up, and all of a sudden he passed out because his heart wasn't beating. And just, 24 years of age, quite young. And boom, he's on life support. The latest news is that he's partially still on the respirator, but he apparently is able to do some breathing, so they're happy. But this has caused a lot of football players to think, maybe I should retire earlier than later. You know, they've already written me a contract out for several million. I can live on that. You know, why take a chance? But football is a very dangerous sport. But, you know, it reminds you of the fragility of this life. And so we have to make sure that we're living for the Lord at all times.